fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar on beignets.
Hey y'all, this is Shelly, and you're listening to the All Things Southern Podcast, taped right here on the banks of beautiful Lake Providence, Louisiana. Thanks for sharing your time with me. I've got a nice hot cup of coffee and a roaring fire crackling in the background, and I've been looking forward to our visit. Author and speaker Lauren Gaskell will be joining me in just a few to discuss the inspiring message behind her new book, Into the Deep, Diving into a Life of Courageous Faith. But first, just a few things off the top of my head, in no particular order. Have you heard the latest? Experts, term used lightly, are claiming that traditional masculinity harms the development of young boys and society as a whole. They call this theory toxic masculinity. I call it ignorance gone to seed. Soon as I heard about it, I threw a big, beautiful picture of my hard-working, beloved farmer up on social media and went on record with three succinct points of my own. Number one, hogwash. Number two, let's hear it for the boys. And number three, traditional masculinity is way good at killing spiders. Hey, I'm just one woman, but I do what I can. In other news, the plumbing people at Kohler are advertising their new intelligent toilet. You can now get a potty with built-in surround sound, ambient mood lighting, a heated seat, and wait for it, Amazon Alexa controls. Help me understand. How long do you plan to be in there? And what, pray tell, do you need to say to Alexa while you're doing business? I'm trying to work with y'all, but I got nothing. I mean, I reckon you could order toilet tissue if the last person forgot to replace the roll, but you're still going to have to go outside to meet the drone with your pants down. Am I right? I admit to being confused by all of this, but apparently I fall in the category of folks who aren't looking for, and I am quoting here, a customized bathroom experience. I polled my girlfriends on this development, and we think mood-setting toilets might be a man thing. They have higher expectations for this area of the homestead. Take my brother-in-law. You can't really take him because my darling sister adores him and he's a keeper. But the other morning, Jean asked Rhonda to please not buy any more of the toilet paper brand that was currently in their master bathroom. Nana told her man she was sorry and that she didn't realize he had such a sensitive backside. Did I mention that Jean also has a great sense of humor? His response was, "If your butt had been chewed out as much as mine, it'd be sensitive too." On the count of three, bless his heart. Hang tight, y'all. I'll be right back with Lauren Gaskell.
Swinging.
Yeah, just a swing.
You're listening to Shelley on All Things Southern.
Welcome back, y'all. I am visiting with author and speaker Lauren Gaskell of the Finding Joy podcast and Finding Joy Ladies Night Out event. Sounds like something I want to be a part of. Lauren has released a fantastic book that we're going to be talking about at length today. But right now, I want to stop and say welcome, Lauren.
Hey, Shelley. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it is a blessing to have you here. I kind of wish that everyone else would have been able to be in on what happened, Lauren, right before we started taping, because you and I both came to the podcast from all our other tasks of the day. And before I hit the record button, we prayed together, and I was commenting that it's just every time I do that before a podcast, it just feels like a deep breath, and it recenters me. Because it reminds me that this isn't about me at all. It's about him. How did you feel when we just took that big old deep breath yourself?
Yeah, I remember saying, you know, it's funny how with anything in life, whether it's our job or, you know, we've got a speaking engagement or whatever's going on, if we start to make it about ourselves, you know, we're going to feel the fear. We're going to feel the anxiety. And the second that we realign and remember that, no, the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through us. And none of this is about us. It's all about God. So the second we remember that, oh man, the biggest peace will just enter your spirit. So yeah, it's great.
Just good. It's just good. We just want it for everyone. Just want that type of peace and that beautiful, I love that word, alignment, that realignment that we just do constantly. But let's dive. Speaking of diving, the title of your book is Into the Deep, and the subtitle is Diving into a Life of Courageous Faith. So I'm going to let you set the stage for our conversation by just kind of launching out there and letting my listeners know about the why, the backstory behind this book and why you wrote it.
You know, I grew up in the church and I sang all the right songs. I memorized all the right Bible verses. I got baptized when I was 10, which was my decision. That's something that I wanted to do. But the reality of faith and you know, what do you do when life as you know it is not going according to plan? What do you do when you are no longer in the shallow end, but you have been thrown into some pretty deep waters and the waves that are raging around you are enough to take you out? And to be honest with you, I had a very, 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 very wonderful upbringing, praise God. But then in high school, I got hit with just these massive health issues, anxiety, depression, chronic pain, joint dislocations, all these problems. And amidst all of it, I was like, God, what are you doing? Where are you? Mm-hmm. And I remember, I can't tell you how long it was, but there was a season where I just kind of gave up. Mm-hmm. And instead of reaching for Jesus, I just let myself get pulled into what I like to call that undertow of doubt, fear, and despair. And I felt like I was drowning because I had given up hope. And then I tell you what, and I write about this in the book, the moment that I finally decided to trust God, even though he wasn't changing my circumstances, the more that I started praying and diving into his word and practicing these daily faith practices, which I talk about in the book, my life was transformed. So that's my hope for other people is to help people get out of the undertow. Jesus doesn't want us swirling beneath the surface. He wants us to swim through life with him so that we can overcome the waves.
Gosh, that is so good. I think one of the reasons why I was just so identified with you so early in the book, Lauren, is because I was raised in very much the same way. Just a blessed, yes, praise God type of family, just a strong heritage in the Lord, you know, strong biblical foundation. But I too didn't have a personal relationship with Christ that was something that was nourishing me. I believed in God forever, you know, just the way I was raised. There was no doubt in my mind. But there did come and has to come for each of us that place where it was like, you know, wait a minute. I mean, this is not working. If I believe in you and I do, where is that evidence? Where are you in my day-to-day life? You know, where are you right now? And right. I began searching for him in a type of way that I never had. And he has been exactly the faithful God that he says he will be. If you seek him, you will find him. And the journey continues. And like Paul, I have not arrived, but oh, praise God, I am on the journey of discovering more and more about him and what he wants for us. And that's so similar to what my heart beats with what your mission, as I was reading your website and I guess stalking you before we start talking, Lauren, you know, and reading about what moves you, you know, what moves your heart. And I saw that it was so similar because you just want other people to learn how to walk with Jesus through the pain and suffering, because, and my words here, life is hard when it's good. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Amen. Hard when it's good. So, Lauren, you did a really good job of giving us an overview of your story, but you did mention how that time when the health issues actually started, and I want to drill down there a little bit. I think what will really help our listeners the most to go on this journey with us is to realize where you were when all of this started. And you were a very young, healthy, everything's going on fine swimmer. And then the health issues started back there in high school. Can you begin there and give us a little bit more of a drilled down story of what happened with you?
Absolutely, Shelley. Well, it all started with panic attacks. And these weren't the type of panic attacks that, you know, I could just ride it out and, you know, they came and they went and it didn't take up much of my day. It was every night. And I would feel like my throat was closing up. The room was spinning. I would get, my hands would get clammy. I would be sweating. Sometimes I would throw up, just random panic attacks. And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't stop it. I didn't know what to do. And then right after that followed headaches, and my jaw started popping. My collarbone started popping. All of these weird joint things. Gosh. And, you know, all of that, that perfect storm of, oh, my goodness, what on earth is going on in my, you know, 15-year-old body?
Right.
All of that led to just deep depression because I looked at everyone else around me and I, you know, my mom and dad were healthy. My dad had been freed from his panic attacks when he came to the Lord. And so I was just slugging it out every day, just trying to survive in high school, really.
Wow. And so now, so you lived that way from what I understand and reading for years before actual diagnosis began to crystallize. And I think you went through some, you know, some wrong diagnosis first. Mm-hmm. So take us through that part of the story.
Yes, sure. Well, I did my best, you know, praise the Lord. The panic attacks didn't last forever. And now we know, I'll get to my diagnosis in a second, but now we know that the panic attacks was more of my brain's defense mechanism to what was going on in my body. Wow. But in college, the pain got worse. Oh, did the pain get worse? I would wake up feeling like I was hit by 2x4s, but I just kept telling myself, like, everybody must feel this way. You just need to buck up. Like, my family, my maiden name is Hardy. And so my family always said, Hardy's never quit. So I would just tell myself that. And then I got married.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, this is not normal. Like, yeah. I know that you are just trying to tough this out, but this is not normal. And to have someone, because I thought I was crazy. So to have someone validate me and say, what you are experiencing, this is a problem. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. So after we got married, we started pursuing a diagnosis, was misdiagnosed with fibromyalgia at first. And praise the Lord, by his divine grace, I came in contact with a TMJ doctor who said, I just saw a girl with exactly what you have, and you do not have fibromyalgia. You have hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a connective tissue disorder where my body does not synthesize the collagen protein properly when it comes to joints and other tissues. And it causes a cascading list of problems. If you Google it, there's about probably 50 to 100 what they call comorbidities of things that can go wrong with this syndrome. So yes, 2015 was when I was finally diagnosed.
And what's that like when you finally get that diagnosis? And I mean, it's got to be, on one hand, you're glad to know a name for this thing. And you and I both agree, and we'll get to that later in the conversation, that everything has to bow at the name of Jesus. But you first get a name for this thing. But along with that comes all this list of things that you might expect. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that was like to hear that?
Sure. It was horrible.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of people think that, like, once you have a diagnosis, like, you feel great about yourself. And the fact was, is that I had so many people who were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for you, that the weight of that, like, it has been a daily, this is why I'm so passionate about faith, Shelley, because I have to daily work really hard at my faith to keep it strong, because it would be easy to fall into bitterness, disillusionment, despair, doubt when you're slammed with a diagnosis that doctors say is incurable. Mm-hmm. So at the time it was pretty awful, but man, is there hope in Jesus Christ. When the when the healthcare system says that there are no answers for you, y'all, there is Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting here today talking, you know, I have not been cured. I still deal with pain almost every single day, but by God's grace, I'm going to make it. And so are you, whatever you're going through.
And I love that. I mean, like interrupting you over here, having a revival. I'm just praising the Lord. You know, yes and amen as you're testifying to that, because I was reading your own words and, you know, that you still ask the Lord for relief and healing from this. But one of the things that it's brought me so much comfort lately, different things. The Lord has taught me to say to Him, and it's a tender and a private thing. And sometimes when we talk about issues, here's the problem. People want to put a big blanket over it and put it in a box and, you know, apply it to every situation. And I'm not about to do that, but I do want to testify a moment to the sweetness and the power of telling the Lord, I will accept what you allow. And there's a power there. There is a surrender there that says, I have an issue right now that I'm asking Him to take away. And someone might have a problem with my theology, but I'm telling you, my friend Lauren, that in the same breath, I tell Him, I will accept what you allow. Because in accepting what He allows is where I have that communion with Him, that relationship with Him to keep plugging on. Are you tracking with that?
Amen, sister. Here's my thing, because a lot of people, you know, I've had plenty of people be like, well, if your faith was stronger, you would be healed. Y'all, I wrote a book about faith. Like, I'm not saying that my faith can't be better, but like, I love me some Jesus. And I have seen Him move. I have seen Him provide. I've given my life to Him. But sometimes He allows things that don't make sense to us. But guess what? Yeah. The persecution, here we go.
Right.
And death of Jesus Christ didn't make any sense to the disciples either. But ultimately, it is what has given us salvation. So I have had to, in my life, come to a place of saying, okay, Lord, if you're going to allow this, then I have to trust that there is going to be some pretty amazing beauty coming out of this, because He has a purpose for all things.
Mm-hmm. But He's sovereign. Amen. He is sovereign and we are not. And that beauty that you speak of right now, I hear in your voice, I see in your book, I found on your website. So I want to take a minute before we go any further and let the listeners know that I am visiting with Lauren Gaskell. You can find her online at laurengaskellinspires.com. And you can find her all over Facebook. Now, y'all know how to do that, all over social media, Twitter and Instagram. I tell you all the time, just plug my name in a search engine and hook up with me everywhere. And let's walk this thing out together. And I want y'all to do that with Lauren as well. Lauren has written a fantastic book called Into the Deep, Diving into a Life of Courageous Faith. Back to our conversation, Lauren, a moment ago, you said one of the quotes from some of the not so helpful people that have tried to help you and give you advice, and God love them, they can be all over the spectrum. And so I commend you for doing that with grace when you said that people have told you if you had enough faith, you could be healed. And I mean, we're just like, can I pop them in the head in Jesus' name? I mean, really? I can't believe someone, you know, would tell you that. But I want to pick up there again, because it's one of those things that people need to know that that's not how they need to speak to you. And so there are so many people out there, they're dealing with these type of chronic problems. And there's a chapter in your book that's called 6 Things You Need to Know. It is very powerful. Unpack that a little bit for those that are listening.
Absolutely. Well, this is my favorite chapter in the book.
Mine too.
Because these are the things that I wish that somebody would have told me sooner. because I think they would have saved me a lot of pain and heartache and anger, quite honestly. So I will unpack these. You can read them in detail in the book. But number one, God is not punishing you. So that is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where we, and when I say we, I'm using like general term as Christians, got the idea in our heads that God like is up there causing suffering. Mm-hmm. Punishment is incompatible with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I mean,
like, so for me, this one is huge. Just remembering that, no, God allows, but there is a purpose. Mm-hmm. And he's sovereign. Number two, you are not alone. I think the devil would love nothing more than for all of us to believe that everyone else's lives are perfect. You know, I mentioned earlier that that's what I thought, mostly because nobody was sharing their pain with me. But the devil is pretty clever, and he will do whatever he can to fool us into thinking that we are the only ones who are broken and messed up, and that could not be further from the truth.
Mm.
Number three, you're going to be okay. I have a... This is a quote from the book, and I have it in my office. Even the fiercest storms have an expiration date. So we think about tornadoes and hurricanes and hailstorms, all of these horrible things that can cause damage. Mm-hmm. They all have an expiration date. And the same goes for the storms that we experience in our life. Like, just because that you're having a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, maybe it's even been a bad year. I have been there, friend, but that doesn't mean that you have a bad life.
Amen.
Number four, the darkness does not define you. I remember there was a time where I looked in the mirror and all I saw was darkness. All I saw was the pain and the hurt and the health issues. But I love to say the Jesus inside of us is stronger than the darkness that tries to overtake us. Because make no doubt about it, there is a darkness. Mm-hmm. And it is all around us. But the light outshines the darkness, and the darkness has never snuffed that light out. So just remember that.
Amen.
And then number five, you were made for the deep. You know, a lot of us are so scared of life's deep waters, but that's exactly where God meets us. And that's where he gets the glory too, because we have to rely on him to make it. Mm-hmm. So I love to remember that. And then the last one, God's love will carry you. I like to have people picture God's love as this just beautiful raft that holds us up above the waves. And he loves us so much. He's never going to stop loving you, no matter, you know, what kind of thoughts you're having. Even if you're angry at him, guess what? He still loves you.
Right.
So his love is stronger than the deep waters.
You know what? Those 6 points alone, if no one heard anything else of this podcast, those 6 points alone could give so much help and encouragement and inspiration to people. I thank you for them. Now, listeners, there's a lot more on each one of those points. And I would encourage you to pick up a copy of Into the Deep and go deeper with Lauren in those points that she discussed, but I wanted to whet your appetite. I had a motive there to hear a little bit of the wisdom from this book. Why did you call it Into the Deep? It's a beautiful book. There's swirling water on the front. Looks like maybe an ocean of swirling water. Why did you settle on that topic, that title?
Sure. Well, there was a verse. So I've been a swimmer my whole life. So I do love water. But I started looking through scripture at all of the different times that deep is referenced and water. And I was just captivated by Psalm 42:7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. It is a very beautiful psalm if you haven't read it. And when I read that, I was like, man, that is the life experience, right? Like, we are in the deep. But so is God.
Amen. He's right there with us. Absolutely. You talk about suiting up you know, you for this faith walk that we have every day. And I thought that was just such a great illustration, because I believe it was C.S. Lewis. It's one of the old faith fathers that I love to read that said, you know, we have to believe with everything that is in us. And then the next day we have to get up and do it all over again. And I love that message as a reminder to people that are listening, that it's an ongoing choice to stay in this thing and to suit up. But you talk about it as a faith suit up. So explain that for us.
Yeah, so I talk about how just like a swimmer would never jump into the competition pool without their cap and goggles and their swimsuit, you know, we shouldn't even get out of bed without putting our faith suit on. And I think that the armor of God is a section of scripture that is studied so often, but applied so seldom. Yeah, so seldom. And I mean, I'm guilty of it too. The part of the armor that I often, it's my weakness, is quite honestly the belt of truth. Like, the enemy will throw a lie at me. He'll throw those arrows and I'm getting better. But there were times when, like, I wouldn't even try to fling back truth or scripture at the arrow. You know, I would just take it.
Right.
But that's not what we, if we want to experience abundance in Christ, like, we are in a battle, and it's not against flesh and blood. It is happening in the spiritual realm. So we got to suit up.
Suit up. I love that. Years ago, I began this practice, and it's not my prayer time. It's not even seconds long, but it was that whole idea of, you know, I just need you. When I open my eyes, I need you. And so when I wake up in the morning, I slide out of bed to my knees before I stand to my feet. And I'm telling you, it won't be but seconds, but I cannot recommend it enough, because I slide out to my knees. And as I'm going from my knees to my feet, I am acknowledging to the Lord that I'm yours. I'm sold out, surrendered. I'm yours, and I need you to go forward. And like I say, that's seconds long, and, you know, it's not my prayer time, Bible study, or anything like that. But that attitude of our heart that, you know, as soon as we open our eyes, I can't, again, recommend it enough. And I recommend Into the Deep, but our time is almost over. So let me, like, cede the floor to you, and you talk to the folks about coming to see you and where they can find you online and your events that you have, and just give us a little bit more of Lauren before we go.
Absolutely, Shelley. Well, Finding Joy actually had a rebrand last year to She Found Joy. So the She Found Joy podcast and She Found Joy Ladies Night Out events, that is the ministry where I focus a lot of my time. I'm very passionate about spreading joy in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And so last year we went to 8 cities in the United States, and right now my team and I are gearing up to come to 13 cities. We will announce those on March 1st. So I would love to meet you in person. Y'all, it's such a fun time of food fellowship and fun. So you can learn more at shefoundjoy.com. And then, as Shelley mentioned earlier, my personal writing website, laurengaskillinspires.com, has all the information about the book. There's other blog posts and other free goodies on there as well.
Awesome. I'm going to be looking for those dates as well. Now, when we get off today, I'm going to hook up with you on all of our social media accounts, and I'm going to be following that. And who knows, Lauren, I might pop up when you least expect it, and we will get an in-person hug, because I really appreciate you. I'm also going to be asking Holy Spirit to bring you back to my mind to pray for you, and to for the Lord to just strengthen you in your work. Hey, thanks for being by All Things Southern today.
Thank you so much for having me, Shelley.
Blessing, sister. Bye-bye.
I remember singing with Roy Rogers at the movies when the West was really wild. 'Cause I was country when country wasn't cool. Yeah, I was country when country wasn't cool.
You're listening to All Things Southern. Now here's your host, the author of Suck Your Stomach In and Put Some Color On, Shelley Tomlinson.
I hope y'all have enjoyed the visit. I have. But I want to open the Word together before we go. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Friends, Jesus didn't come to help us juggle our junk. He lived, died, and lives again to walk us out of it. He wants to rid us of what rules us, heal us of what hinders us, teach us what we don't know, and lead us into a life we can't see. Our choice is to give up what pulls us down to get more of the one who lifts us up. Give up resentment for peace, bitterness for reconciliation, and soul-stealing addictions for a life-giving Savior. Give up working for man's approving nod to live in God's favor. And Father, help us brace our go-faster, crash-harder selves for this last one. But may we give up some shut-eye for more sacred FaceTime. That's it for this week, folks. If you're enjoying the podcast, would you be so kind as to give it a review and share it with your friends and family? Many thanks. And remember, you can also subscribe to my newsletter at the website. That's bellofallthingssouthern.com. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. This is Shelley with Hugs for All.